Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Notice this. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Notice the consolation of Israel. You know the story when Simeon comes in. He says, I have beheld the salvation. And he says, now I can depart in peace. We know that he there gave us a hymn. And then in verse 36, there's another character that we are introduced to. And she was a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher there. She was of a great age and she lived there. And it goes on to say in verse 38 concerning her, and she came in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. Notice that. She spake to all of them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Amen. I want to preach tonight just for a few moments. I will try not to take long with this. I don't believe it will take long. But I'm still longing for Emmanuel. Still longing for Emmanuel. Amen. There's a very famous song that is sung around this time of the year. And I'm sure many of you have heard it before, but it's a famous hymn. And I know that Christine and Paul there, they sang about Emmanuel, and Elise sang about Emmanuel last week. But the famous hymn that is sung called O Come, Emmanuel. Anybody ever heard of it? Amen. It was written around the 9th century. The unknown author of this. I did some studying on this. But it's one of the most unique translation of this anonymous Latin hymn. There's so many unique things about it. It takes us into the mind of old Israel when you begin to study it, longing for the first coming of the Messiah. You'll hear there about the cry in the heart of Israel as they say, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel here that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. You'll notice there in that hymn that in its design and its phrases there that there's a double longing within this hymn. Number one, it longs for the very first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as you go on through the hymn, you'll find that there's another longing, and that is the longing for the Emmanuel to still come in the future second advent, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we look at this and it goes beyond just the first appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. It goes beyond that. You hear the longing, the yearning of this people here in this hymn, whoever wrote it. And I encourage you, I've listened to it, I'm not exaggerating, probably 20 times in study of this message, trying to get the writing of it, trying to get the composure of it. And there you can hear it. I'm not going to sing it because it's very difficult to sing it. I'm not a singer anyhow. But oh come, Emmanuel. You hear the yearning, you hear the longing of the man who wrote that as he was looking for the first advent of Christ, but then he also is looking for the second advent of Christ. Now, we come here to the Bible, we read to you about Simeon who was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the very first stanza here in that song says, and he captures it very well, when he says, I've already read it to you, but let me bear me once again. He says, oh come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. You have to understand that the nation of Israel, before the very first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in that manger, the nation of Israel was an apostate, hypocritical people. They talked about God on the outside. They had zeal for the legalistic approach of things. They had traditions they had committed to, but their hearts were far from God. That's nothing new to you or me. We know that. How Israel had entered into their apostasy. They had entered into that failed relationship with God. One writer, William Hendrickson, said this. He said, to be sure, the conditions were bad. Very bad in Israel at the time of Jesus Christ being born in Bethlehem. He says this, and I quote, think of the loss of political independence. Think of cruel King Herod. Think of the externalization of religion. Think of the legalistic scribes and Pharisees and their many followers. Think of the worldly-minded Sadducees. The silence of the voice of the prophets and the midst of all this darkness, degradation, in despair and disease. Here the children of Israel were. They were completely separated from God in a sense. So many things had taken place. And my friend, we also know the consummation here of the 400 years of silence. 400 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, the prophet Malachi, whose prophecy ends the Old Testament, lets us know. I preached it before about the book of Malachi. How that's God's benediction letter to the children of Israel. It was a goodbye letter to them. Let them know, look, I am frustrated with your sacrifices and your incense and the external religion. He was frustrated with them. And it ends with a curse. And I've said it before. The book of Matthew opens with a blessing. Amen. We look at that and know that in the book of Malachi, he says this in prophecy. He says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and go up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, and they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. So here it is, my friend, you would have to understand this. Awaiting the Messiah was the true Jewish people. I believe it with all of my heart that there were some of those Jewish men and women who were looking for the coming of the Messiah. They didn't understand it all like you and I understand it. They didn't see it all like you and I see it. They didn't have a beautiful New Testament with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the book of... They didn't have all of that. But there you had these men. Many of the people in Israel paid very little attention to that promise in Malachi. But thank the Lord, there was a small group and a remnant. How many knows God still has a remnant people today? Amen. You say, Brother Derek, what's the qualifications of that remnant? All I can say is this. They love Jesus with all of their heart. Amen. They want to please Him. They want to do His will. They're seeking to do His will and reach out to the lost, my friend. That's those ones just like Simeon here. This remnant people in this nation that look for the fulfillment of Malachi's promise. The Pharisees were not really looking for it. The religious hierarchy of that day was not looking for it. That's why the wise men, when they went there to Herod's palace, he called for some priests. And look, they said, there is a prophecy. There is prophecies of the Old Testament. But oh, thank God for men like Simeon, who was one of that small group, who was a representative of those that had saving faith, waiting for the Messiah. Simeon really is a representative, sort of a personifies the expected Jewish people. He's one of those men that was expecting Him to come. And my friend, he was not the only one. There were several others. What about Zechariah? You think he was looking for the coming? I believe he was. What about men like Joseph? What about a woman like Mary and Elizabeth and different ones, and Anna there in the temple? Yes, there was different ones who was waiting for the consolation of Israel. But when we look at this, they must understand. They were waiting for this. They were looking for the consolation of Israel. They were looking for the Messiah that would come. They lived expectantly awaiting for their Messiah, living godly lives. Do I believe that some of the Old Testament saints to heaven? You best believe it. Amen. There were some of those who kept their integrity, who did not yield themselves to that false system and to that hypocritical system, but they yielded themselves to the mind and the heart of God through the law. Amen. Did not make them perfect through the law, but they loved His law and they loved Him. Amen. Now, understand this today. This phrase, the consolation of Israel, this is what they were looking for. He was looking for the consolation of Israel. That word there, that word consolation, you must follow me here. Is the word that's paraklesis. And that word there means the help of Israel, the comfort of Israel. Basically, he was looking for Jesus to come and to comfort and to minister unto Israel in whatever form it would appear. Now, when you do a word study about this, you've got to understand. You see the word consolation that really refers to the Messiah, the only one who can bring the consolation, the counselor. It also means the comforter. It is the same word that is used for the Holy Ghost in John chapter 4. It's that word. They were looking for the Comforter to come, and His name was Jesus Christ. They did not know His name at that time, but they knew He was the Messiah. Now notice about Simeon's longing here. We must look at this just briefly. Now he did not just have a personal longing, but he had a national longing. Isn't that something? Not just a personal longing. Simeon was not just looking for comfort for himself. He was looking for comfort for all of Israel. He wanted God to comfort all of Israel. Amen. I wouldn't that God help us understand this. You've got to do more than just have a personal longing. But guess what? I have a national longing. I want America and this world to be comforted. Amen. I want you to be comforted. I want your family to be ministered to. I want you to understand that God has great purposes and great ability. And I don't long for that just personally. I long for that for everybody in abundant life. Amen. He did not just have a personal longing. He had a national longing. He wanted to see a national deliverance. He was looking for the promised kingdom to the whole entire nation. Just as well, we are looking for it to the whole entire world. Now let me show you real briefly, real quick, just for the sake of learning here, what the consolation of Israel consisted of. Isaiah chapter 40 verses 1 and 2 gives us a brief glimpse. And there's some other verses. I don't want to bore you with just scripture reading. But Isaiah 40 and 1 says this. It says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Amen. He says, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. Amen. He said these words, comfort ye, O Israel, comfort ye. You'd have to understand a nation, as that song says, that was in exile, that was in bondage, that did not have, was not living to the full potential in which God wanted them to be. God said these words, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Amen. Isn't it a good thing when God speaks comfortably to us? Amen. Sometimes, my friend, I don't ever want to get to the place that I know we live in the last days and the latter times, and I know the iniquities abounding on every hand, but I'll tell you, my friend, I don't always want to speak so negative, and I don't always want to speak so mundane, dead and dry about all the bad things. Thank God that God still speaks a comforting message to His church. Amen. It's more than just doom and gloom. There's hope and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Isaiah 40 and 10 says this, behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. It goes on to say many different places, but could you imagine, please step with me for a moment, in the shoes of a man like Simeon, as you look around and see all of the bad things. You see all of the Pharisaical and the Levitical and all these different things, and then the Sadducees and the Zealots, and you see all these things going on. You're standing there. You see Herod, what he's doing. You see the Roman government and what they are doing. You see all these things, and how it's been 400 years of no prophet, and you read the book of Isaiah. You're going through a tough time, and you read these words. It says, comfort ye, oh comfort ye. Don't you see why Simeon was saying, Lord, we need your comfort, Lord. Lord, we need your help. We need you, Lord. We can see where Simeon God is longing from, as well as Zechariah, Elizabeth, Joseph, Anna, Mary, and that faithful remnant. We can see where they got that longing from. Guess what, my friend? And guess what? Emmanuel did come. We just celebrated that. Amen. In the weeks leading up to Christmas, we put ourselves in the shoes of Zechariah. We put ourselves in the shoes of Elizabeth, Simeon, and Mary, and Joseph, and the pre-Christian saints. We ponder the promises. We strain to see the dawn of salvation. But then all, oh, what a glorious thing it is. Just like the song says, rejoice, rejoice, because Emmanuel did come. Amen. I don't know about you. I rejoiced a little bit this Christmas. Amen. I was sitting out in the car in Roseburg, North Carolina, at my mother-in-law's house, 6 o'clock in the morning, windows down, looking out in the beautiful field, breeze passing through the car with my Bible, and I said, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel has come. Amen. He's come, and we should rejoice. I've rejoiced. I hope you've rejoiced over Christ. If your happiness depended on gifts, shame on you. I'm looking around, grow up. Amen. If you don't mind me saying it that way. Amen. If I didn't get that, I mean this. I got clothes this year and I'm still happy. I love clothes because I need them. Amen. You say, did you get anything bigger? No, no. Guess what? I was able to rejoice in the advent and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ because I squinted my eyes with Zechariah. I squinted my eyes with Simeon. I knew what they were going through. I read the Bible. I squinted my eyes and I seen the Son of Righteousness
come over the horizon, and I'm rejoicing in the sunlight tonight because it came, and I do rejoice. Thank God for Emmanuel. We see the excitement on the faces of every Christmas character. We yield ourselves like Mary. We obey like Joseph. We leap with John the Baptist in the womb. We get filled like Elizabeth. We prophesy with Zacharias. We marvel at the sight of the angels. We return home amazed like the shepherds, and our eyes behold the salvation like Simeon. I rejoice. God gave me those words the other day, just sitting in the car. I rejoice with all of them. But you'd have to understand, we know that when it comes, the waiting is not over. The song that captures it better than what I can probably preach it. He came. He came. What a wonderful time when Emmanuel arrives. The day spring rises. We learn that redemption has only begun. We have to understand this. Even after the life of Jesus, the final blood is shed, the debt is paid, forgiveness is purchased, God's wrath is removed, adoption is secured, the down payment is in the bank, the first fruits of the harvest are in the barn, the future is sure, the joy is great, but the end is not yet. I'm still living. And there's times I still hurt. There's times you still hurt. There's times I cry. There's times you cry. And you know what makes me do? It didn't end with Simeon squinting his eyes. Still squinting mine. Anybody squinting their eyes towards heaven recently? I said, oh, Emmanuel, oh, come. I look at this and I must understand. Death still snatches away. Disease still makes us miserable. Calamity still strikes. Satan still prowls. The flesh still wars against the spirit. Sin still indwells in so many and takes control. And my friend, like Romans 8:23 says, and we still groan awaiting our adoption and the redemption of our bodies. We still wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1:7, we still await our final deliverance from the wrath to come. In 1 Thessalonians 1:10, we still wait for the hope of righteousness. In Galatians 5:5, the longing continues. Emmanuel did come, but oh, come Emmanuel. That's what the song says. Oh, may Emmanuel come. Come, come. He came. Rejoice, but come again, Lord. Rejoice. That is the life that we live, my friend. He came, but the still longing does not end at Christmas. I still long right now. You'd have to study the song in your own time. But O Come Emmanuel captures us that this mood of longing is not the same as the exuberant joy to the world. The Lord has come. Or the vigorous and bounding heart the heralds, angels sing, glory to the newborn king. It is an excellent musical match to the mood of the song. Longing, yearning, hoping. And guess what? I'm still longing tonight. I look at this. I want you to understand. I don't want to lose you. But overflowing joy and tearful longing is in the life of every believer. The best way in meditation, praying about this, you ever seen a pendulum swinging? I'm telling you, friends, there's times in our lives we live. This pendulum swing in the Christian life swings between these two poles. The overflowing joy of the already redeemed in Ephesians 1:7 and the tearful yearning of the not yet redeemed in Ephesians 4:30. Amen. The Christian lives in both dimensions. We live this out in our lives. We are always sorrowful, yet rejoicing like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6:10. Let's look at the life of Mary. She's holding that baby in the temple, but yet Simeon prophesies to her, there's going to be a sword, Mary. You're going to suffer. You're going to watch Him die. You're going to watch Him crucified. Can you picture holding the baby at one part of her life? But can you picture her baby up on the cross at another time of her life? Yes, she's joyful in the holding that baby. But look at the tears of sorrow as she's looking at her Savior on the cross. Let's look at her at resurrection. Here's joy again. He's arose from the grave. Let's look at the tears of sorrow. Where did He go? Let's look at Acts chapter 2. There's joy again. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. My friend, there's that overflowing joy and that tearful longing, and it's in the life of this world, and you can't deny that. Now, in my mind, I was just picturing some different scenarios. Let's picture a hospital just for a moment. How can a hospital have one room where a baby is born and they are crying tears of joy, and in another room in the same hospital one dies and the family cries tears of sorrow? I've seen both. Matter of fact, when Chloe was born, it's nothing to walk out of a hospital holding a baby and watching the ER and the ambulance come rushing in, lights on. Why is that? This is life, my friend. This is the serious sorrow in our joy. It is a fact that even this Christmas season, 3.7 million people will die during the Advent worldwide. 500,000 of them children. About 105 persons every minute. Most of them without hope. Any tiny fraction of this makes the news unless it's a part of some great tragedy. People are born. People die every day. People get better, but some people get sick. Some get better from cancer. Others die from cancer. Some have joy, some have sorrow. That's what we have to understand. That's why we still long for Emmanuel, for the consummation, for the fullness of His coming. Don't quit longing at Christmas. Don't quit longing at Christmas. It's a wonderful thing that there are Christmas carols that are written that capture so much joy. But I'm glad for the reality that everybody's not having joy all the time. That doesn't make you not a Christian. But it's the reality of this fallen world that we live in. Now understand this. O come Emmanuel. It's that great tune. Listen to the awe that begins every verse. They say, O come Emmanuel. Then they say, O come Rod of Jesse. Then they say, O come Dayspring. Then they say, O come Key of David. O come Desire of the Nations. Every time there's an O there, you hear the longing. And they put it this way. They're saying, O come Emmanuel. They're saying, O come, O Rod of Jesse. They're saying, O come Dayspring. They're saying, oh, King of David, come. Come, Lord, come. I want You to come into this world. Notice these different names. They're longing for all of this to come. They call Him, number one, Emmanuel, God with us. He will pay the ransom that only God, man, can pay. They call Him the Rod of Jesse in Isaiah 11 and 1. Springing from a dead stump, He will free His people by death and resurrection from Satan's tyranny and make them free forever. As the day spring in Luke 1 and 7 and 8, the dawn of God's kingdom, He will lighten up the world and banish the hopelessness of darkness. As the key of David, He rescues us from hell, unlocks the door of heaven, and brings us home. As the desire of the nations, He will draw the ransom from every people and make them a kingdom of peace. This is who Jesus is. This is what already achieved and will complete, my friend. But that does not mean you quit longing. I long even now for this to be in every life. Has anybody ever lost somebody close to you? Don't you feel the longing for Him to come and make all this right? I feel like Isaiah, Lord, how long, Lord? How long do we have to live among this, amen. But notice the burst of joy at the end of each one of these names. After each longing, there are powerful bursts of joy in the refrain. The mystery and the wonder of Christian living is captured. Notice this, sorrowful yet always rejoicing. Sorrowful yet always rejoicing. He says, sorrowful, brother, I don't know about that. Why'd they call Jesus the man of sorrows? Tell me a little bit about that, amen. That's when He was sorrowful yet rejoicing. Already, but not yet. I'm already saved. But I'm still waiting to be saved from this world. Amen? I'm already, but not yet. Fulfillment of the glorious promises, yes. But the consummation of the new earth and the new bodies and no sin in this world, not yet. I'm waiting. Already not yet. That's a little confusing, isn't it? I'm already happy. Amen. But I'm waiting for God to make me happy. I'm already rejoicing. Oh, I can't wait to rejoice up there. I'm already this. I'm already that. Already, but not yet. Notice this. We have longing. We have joy. And it should never end. This Christmas season is about to come to a complete close. Technically, it ended on the 25th. It definitely is gone by the New Year's. But never quit longing. You know, I've already mentioned this before, but I went and seen my grandfather in the nursing home, and He has full-blown Alzheimer's. He's there in a certain ward. But you know, I go in there, and as I'm looking at him, and I'm holding Chloe, two different situations. Older situation, everybody knows what the situation is there. And then I'm holding new life. I read about a man who described it best. He was real old. He was getting ready to die. He walked up to a woman who had a baby. He said, can I hold that precious little baby? She said, sure, I guess. You know, she said, he held that baby. He looked at it. He smiled. He cried. He gave him back to her. She said, thank you, ma'am. She said, you know, what's going on? He said, I've been looking at death so long. He said, it's good to see life. He said, it's good to see life. I look at my grandfather and I look at Chloe. I say, I'm rejoicing, yet I'm sorrowful. We have a Christmas ornament on our tree. And the other night when y'all were out Christmas caroling, you know, as Kayla was not feeling good and she got the unction to go later, amen. And finally caught y'all for I don't know where, amen. I remember I was walking around, Chloe, I hold her and walk around and pray sometimes because she wouldn't sleep like she needed to. And I learned to pray holding a baby. I was praying and walking and crying and talking to God, asking God to help us for Sunday. And on our Christmas tree, there's an ornament that we have dedicated to our little baby that went on to be with the Lord. And I was studying for this message. I didn't get to preach it. I looked at that Christmas ornament. And I looked at this baby. I said, Lord, I'm sorrowful, but I'm rejoicing. That's our life as believers. I don't understand everything. Look, I know many of us face things. And I, just being transparent to you as a pastor, I don't understand sickness. I don't understand loss. But I know this, that I'm happy as I can be as a Christian. But I'm telling you, I'm waiting for the Lord to come. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And look, I wish there was a way that we could just... And look, that's going to happen. That's our blessed hope. One day all that's going to be over. Every sickness and tear and pain and loss and separation and everything we don't understand and all these things, guess what? I'm rejoicing in what God's doing here. I'm rejoicing in what God's doing in your life. We have times where we, just like the song, we're like, rejoice, rejoice! And then there's other times, oh, come, Emmanuel. Oh, come. Friends, because that is the fallen world in which we live. But can I say to you today that you're rejoicing will sustain you in your longing. Never lose your rejoicing. Never lose your joy. I look at this, Revelation 22, verses 20 through 21. He which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. John saw a lot of things, but do you know what he said? Lord, come. Come. Lord, come. Let it be quick. Let it be now. Lord, I'm telling you, church, what I feel in my heart. Notice what it says in the song, and I won't bore you, but it says, oh, come, desire of nations, bind in one the hearts of all mankind. Bid those our sad divisions cease, and thyself our King of peace. Then he says, rejoice. Notice what he says. I'm going to read you some words here. Oh, come, thou King of David, come and open wide our heavenly home. Make safe our way that leads to thee, and close the paths of misery. It's going to happen one day. Every path of misery is going to be closed. But oh, come, Emmanuel. Oh, come. He says this. Oh, come, thou rod of Jesse free. From every foe deliver them. And trust our mighty power to save. And give them victory over the grave. I can't wait till there's no more death. This is the great challenge to every Christian and everybody that's alive. When we got redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, there's a spiritual redemption. And in the atonement, there is physical redemption. But unless you go by the rapture, it's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. You're going to die. These bodies, I don't understand my body just as well as you don't understand yours. You know, if you take care of it, it does better. It may give you a few more years. But then again, I know some of the healthiest people die very young. I don't understand it all. Hey, man, I know some people like my grandparents. Some of them, they didn't watch what they ate their whole life. Lived to be 100 years old. Amen. Don't make much sense. It's just the body. We don't understand it all. I mean, they eat hog's jaw and pig's feet and pickled this and boiled that and shoot this. And I'm like, oh! We don't understand it. But our bodies do deteriorate. Wouldn't it be amazing right now if somebody came up with a cure and said, look, no more death ever again. And if you just drink, you know, everybody's looking for the miracle water, so to speak. Stay young. You know, if they can't stay young, they're going to at least try to look it. I like to tell people, not only act your age, but it's all right to look your age too. Amen. But these bodies deteriorate. These bodies let down. But
But one day, my friends, hear me. Notice what it says in Romans 8:23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Notice this. It says that we groan within ourselves. That word there means in straits. It means to sigh. It means to murmur. It means to pray inaudibly with grief, groan, grudge, sigh. Or guess what? We're sitting here, we look at all this, and we groan. But one day, it will all end. Stand to your feet all over this building. Amen. Paul tells us about this groaning as a Christian. But can I say these words to you today? Oh come, Emmanuel. And then can I say, rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Amen. He came. As we come to a close of a year, I know all of us have personal testimonies. Let downs, shattered dreams in some areas. Sometimes, you know, we come to the end of a year. We feel like we had a prosperous year, a good year. But you know, that doesn't guarantee you anything for the next year. It is a reality that right now, this new year coming up, some of you could face some of the darkest waters you've ever crossed. Some of you could walk through some of the worst valleys you've ever walked through. I have no guarantee. This could be my last service, and it could be yours. Eventually, we've been blessed, you know, as a church. You know, you hear some churches that they have one thing after another, and it seems like I know one pastor that's in Dayton, Ohio, who's preached 100 funerals the last, I forget how many years. 100 funerals. Could you imagine? Could you imagine the pain and the hurt? And I'm talking about people that used to attend his church. Now down to just a few. When I say a few, I think, you know, not a whole lot of people. We see death, we see pain, we see disease all around us. Oh, come, Emmanuel. How many knows what I mean? But then I also notice this fact. I'm saved. I'm loved. I'm forgiven. I'm all these. You see what I'm saying? You see the tug? You call it a tug of war. How you want to label it? I don't want to label anything, make it seem less than what. But you see the sorrowful yet rejoicing. Happiness yet longing. Peace and joy, but also yearning and longing and desire. That is your life. But can I tell you, and I've said this a few weeks ago, Emmanuel is greater than Ichabod, which means God with us is one of the greatest. God with me. Think about that. No matter what I face, He is with me. Amen. God is with that. That is the blessed hope of Israel. Can you imagine Simeon when he held that baby, as I read to you? And he said, guess what? He said, I can die in peace. You know why? He said, I beheld the salvation of the Lord. Amen? He's our salvation. The believer never dies. He just sleeps. You ever heard that? We got so many good things to rejoice about. How to give an altar call like that. How about this? We just do it this way. How many's really longing for? How many's felt hurt and pain over the last seasons of your life? I have. Because disease, whatever it is, all of us have felt something somewhere. How many desires for Him to come? Amen. I don't want it to stop right now, Brother Glenn. I want to long for Him all year long. Can you bring your longing to the altar and talk to the Lord? Empty them pews. Everybody, find you a place to pray. Just it's just us. We're church family. We know each other. We know each other's battles. Oh, come, Emmanuel. Will we ask You, Lord, we're looking for that great consolation, Lord. One day, Father, thank You for the first advent, Lord, but we're waiting. We're waiting for them. We want some to get healed, some to be restored. You know the needs in every life. Lord, help us. Oh, come on.